In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works. And I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at Lesson 45 of My Catholic Faith. And the picture, we see St. Francis Xavier on a ship there. The helm of the ship, we see a statue of the Blessed Mother holding the infant child. There's an emblem also on the side of the ship of our Lord, and it looks like he's surrounded by the four evangelists. St. Francis Xavier is holding a cross. There are angels flying in the sky, and I guess leading the ship or protecting the ship. And the underneath the picture, it says, as an example of true zeal, we have the Apostle of the Indies, the patron of Catholic missions, St. Francis Xavier. Born of a noble family of Navarre, a descendant of kings, he was brought up for a career of earthly power and glory. But he met St. Ignatius and decided to become a soldier for Christ. Inflamed with zeal, wishing only to reap a rich harvest for God, he went through India, Malaya, and Japan, planting the seed of the faith, converting innumerable heathen to Christ. In Japan, so fruitful was his apostolate that a generation after him the Christian population still totaled 400,000 souls. He is protector of the Society for the Propagation of the Faith. We are looking at Lesson 45, Meekness, Abstinence, Zeal, Brotherly Love. What is meekness? Meekness is that moral virtue which disposes us to control anger when offended and resentment when rebuked. Meekness, however, must be distinguished from pusillanimity, which is weakness of spirit and cowardliness. Meekness is patient between man and man. It is related to the cardinal virtue of temperance and is opposed to the sin of anger. The patient man keeps calm in the midst of vicissitudes of life. He preserves his cheerfulness for the love of God. The motive is important. If we are calm and patient only because we hope to be admired or because we thereby wish to avoid temporal trouble by indifference, then we do not practice virtue. Virtue is the result of love for God, doing things for His sake, because it is His law or desire. By your patience, you will win your souls. St. Luke chapter 21, verse 19. We must endure with serenity all trials, not merely a part of them, in order to be truly patient. For instance, some are patient with sickness, but keep lamenting their being a burden to others on its account. Some are patient with others, but have no patience with themselves. For example, they feel irritated if they fall back into old sins. Such persons are not truly patient and meek. They show traces of pride, believing themselves too good to relapse into old sins. Through many tribulations, we must enter into the kingdom of God. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, verse 21. The patient and the meek man shows no anger when wrong is done him. He is a peacemaker at heart. However, although we should forgive and forget wrongs for the sake of peace, we must not give in to sin just to avoid opposing others. This would be sinful. Let us keep the peace with all when there is no good reason to break it. This should be our policy. Our Lord is the best example of meekness and patience. Did he use his almighty power to punish those who did him evil? For hours he hung meekly on the cross until he died. Every day God is patient with sinners, giving them time to change their ways. The meek man is master of his own self. He has self-control and will find it easy to control others. He has peace of mind and will attain heaven, the home of the meek of heart. Let us gaze at Jesus crucified. He is the supreme example of meekness, the Lamb of God. And I was as a meek lamb that is carried to be a victim. Jeremiah 11:19. Indeed, blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the earth. St. Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. The land of the hearts of their fellow men. As St. Francis de Sales practically said, one catches more flies with an ounce of honey than with tons of vinegar. What is abstinence? Abstinence is that moral virtue related to the cardinal virtue of temperance, which keeps within bounds use of and pleasure in food or drink. This general sense is to be understood as different from the particularized sense of abstinence during certain days, such as Fridays of Lent. A temperate man eats only what he needs, does not fully satisfy his appetite, and is not dainty about the kind of food he eats. The virtue of abstinence is opposed to the sin of gluttony. One who is moderate in eating will be moderate also in many other things, and will escape numerous evils and sins. He always remembers the words of our Lord, "Not in bread alone doth man live." Temperance is a boon to both soul and body. It improves the health and strengthens the mind. It increases holiness and aids towards the attainment of eternal life with God. A temperate man is like a person who travels light. He can move quickly and reach his destination, heaven, more easily. He is not like those who miss every train on account of the numerous bundles to be counted and carried and taken care of during a journey. What virtues are opposed to sloth? The virtues of diligence and zeal are opposed to sloth. From the days of Adam, work has been laid as an obligation on men. God said to Adam, "In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread until thou return to the earth out of which thou wast taken." Genesis 3:19. All men must work, whether mentally or bodily. The apostle said, "If any man will not work, neither let him eat." 2 Epistle to the Thessalonians 3:10. Our Lord worked all his life and chose working people for his mother and foster father. Diligence and labor is a shield against temptation, for thieves do not break into a house full of busy people. In opposition to spiritual sloth, we have zeal. It consists in fervor for our salvation and for that of others, out of love for God. It manifests itself in the propagation of the faith, the sanctification of souls, and making God better known. The zealous man talks to God as often as he can in prayer. He does not forget his religious duties. He loses no opportunity in doing good and cheerfully makes sacrifices for the love of God. All his works and sufferings he offers to God for his own salvation, as well as for that of others. He works hard, remembering that the kingdom of heaven has been enduring violent assault, and the violent have been seizing it by force. What is brotherly love? Brotherly love is charity towards our fellow men, our brothers in Christ. Our Lord said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." St. John chapter 15, verse 12, and St. John exhorts, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." 1 Epistle of St. John chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. Love and envy cannot live in the same heart. Our Lord says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." In St. John chapter 13, verse 35, and he commands, "Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who persecute you." From St. Matthew 5:44. If God commands us to love even our enemies, how much more should we love those who have done us no harm and avoid envying them? Let us remember that the mark of the Christian is love for his fellow men. All that we do to ourselves, I'm really messing this up. All that we do to others, whether for good or ill, we really do to our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, when we feel the temptation to envy, let us banish it at once by praying for the person and try our best to do all the good we can to him. In this way, we follow Christ our Master. Okay, so we're looking again at these virtues, meekness, abstinence, zeal, brotherly love. And we have the example of Christ in basically every one of them. I don't really have anything special to say about any of them. They are all very important. I think probably since I reprinted the Sermon of St. Augustine for last Sunday or this past Sunday on anger, I thought it was very appropriate. And I think probably that fits in well with this chapter here on meekness and being patient with one another, everyone, I guess, and to really calm ourselves. I did like the fact of St. Augustine saying that anger is like the storm that is crashing against the ship and in the sea, and the apostles are afraid and they waken Christ. And so when we see anger or any vice, St. Augustine suggests, any agitation within our heart or soul, that is the storm raging within us. And when we find the storm raging within us with our anger or envy, jealousy, or rage, whatever it may be, it is the time to waken God up within us, to waken Christ up, and to really pay attention to Christ and not allow him to sleep in our hearts and sleep in our souls and allow us to enter into these tribulations. On the other hand, we need to remain calm and peaceful in the times of these storms, these trials, these tribulations. We can be meek or patient through pride just as easily as we can do so with humility. Jokingly say, or what was Jacob jokingly told us in many conferences in the religious life, it is a sin to be proud of our humility. So we have to avoid being proud of the virtues that we have, but we should always be humble and realize that we don't have many virtues at all. And if there is something good in us, then it is truly the work of God within us and not our own self. So whatever we do, we need to check out our motives, why we do them. We need to put first and foremost that we are practicing this or that virtue for the love of God, for the greater honor and glory of God, and not through our own pride and vanity, not so that we will be noticed or praised, or even not so that we can avoid problems in this world and the difficulties of this world. So it is, I don't know, a delicate balance there that we need to pay attention to, not just the outward actions. And I think too often that's where the Pharisees fell into, and our Lord condemned them, telling the apostles that unless their justice exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, they cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. It is not enough to just put on these outward appearances of virtue and to go through the motions and physically do these things. That is not enough. We must have the spirit that goes along with them, that humble spirit that we are doing this for the love of God, for his honor and glory, and not for some selfish motive. Do we have any questions, comments? Right? Then we can end with the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.